Lekker, let's get going. Hello, hoe gaan het? So I tried to make some fancy thingy with my title by putting a C in the middle of relationship, action and relationship. But then I kind of thought about this as well. Next one, let's go to the real action ships. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about, but I thought it was funny. Okay, next slide. Anyway, so we're gonna be talking about the parable of the talents and how it relates to relationships. So I don't know if you know the parable of talents. We're gonna read it just now. But the parable of the talents is about stewardship. So what you should be asking is, what does stewardship have to do with relationships? Okay? Some of you are going to go, oh, you have to steward your relationships. Well done. We're going to also be talking about something else. But you still get a gold star. Okay, so turn with me to Matthew 25. We're going to plow right in. We've got a lot to cover. I'm going to read some of the whole, no, not the whole chapter, verses 14 to 30. So just to put everything in context. Okay, you guys ready? Ready to read some word? You excited to read some word? This, you know, this is God wrote this for you. It's like a love letter for you. You got to put yourself in it. The God of all creation, the guy who created the whole universe, wrote this to you. That's pretty cool, eh? Anyway, okay, cool. Sorry? Okay, Thomas, I'll talk to you later. No, I love you. Okay, verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Say, according to his ability. Okay. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with him, and he made 5 talents more. Just a bit of context. 1 talent back in the day was worth 1 person's salary for a year. So the guy received 5 talents. He received 5 years worth of, you received money that would have been, he would have only made in 5 years' time. So it was quite a lot of money for them. Okay. Just so you know. So also he had 2 talents, made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he had received the 5 talents, came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Isn't that cool? Enter into the joy of your master. Okay. He also had received 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man. Say that, I knew you to be a hard man. Okay. Reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was with my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more, he be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hectic. Okay. If you read that, who of you thinks, okay, that's a little harsh. Let's be honest, okay? It's I mean, this is God we're talking about, and he's like, okay, you failed, get out, cast them out. Okay, if you're reading this, do you think this is a bit harsh? You think it's, okay, stick up your hand. Let's be honest. Okay, we can be honest. Okay, God sees those hands, and he'll deal with it. No, I'm joking. It's a joke. So, okay. But I want to talk about this scripture, because there's a few key things that we got to look at, and those are going to deal with the way that we view relationships. So we're in the second last week of our relationship-themed month. We've been looking at a few aspects of what it takes to make a real relationship work. Okay, and I'm not just talking romantic relationships like with Craig and Renee. Hey. You guys have almost been married a year, eh? Almost. Sheesh, okay. Yeah. Oh. Fantastic. And then we've got friendships like Thomas and James. Yeah. I hope you guys are friends still. Not okay. I don't like James either, but poor James. Where's James? Where did he went to go do his project. He's such a good student. Okay. Okay, we're not friends with him anymore. Nobody tell him. Okay, and then relationships with your parents. Who here has a good relationship with their parents? Okay, I know Yana, your mom's very cool. I like her. Okay, so we're talking about those kind of relationships. I'm blessed to have awesome parents. I know that's not the case for everyone. But I honestly know that the fact that I have good parents is a privilege, and it's awesome, and I'm very grateful to God for that. But I want to talk about the way that we deal with relationships often affects, you know, kind of what we do in our lives. And so for the first couple of minutes, I've got to say a few things, and I've got to do a bit of expectation management, and you're going to get scared, okay? The fear of God is going to come upon you, but fortunately, it is the truth, and here it is. Okay, something to take note of. Okay, God expects productivity. Okay, trying is not good enough. Okay, let me say that again. God expects productivity. Trying hard is not good enough. You're going to have to produce results. Okay? Silence. Okay. Jesus told us that every tree that does not bear fruit will be chopped off and cast in the fire. Okay? It's not like every tree that looked nice, well, you know, it didn't have any fruit, but, you know, it was a pretty cool tree, and we hung a swing on it, so, you know, we can keep it. No, you don't produce fruit. Ex jammer. He's eight. Okay? We read this parable. It's the same thing. This guy came to his master. It's not like he took the money, bought himself a car, and said, I'm sorry, I wasted. No, he came and gave him all his money back. The master didn't lose anything. But the master was still angry with him because he didn't produce anything. He didn't add to it. Okay, he didn't. It's not like he even tried. Okay. And in your life, you've got to understand that God expects you to produce something with your life. Okay. I'm very happy with what Renee spoke about in the offering. It confirmed a lot that, okay, I've got to talk about this because I don't always like doing the hard talks, but this is something that we've got to talk about, okay? It's lack of coming to church, and it's lack of coming on a Sunday, but we are here to get equipped for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to reach the lost, okay? That is our mission. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. Before he ascended, Matthew 28, go read it. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations. Okay, that is your fruit. That is your purpose. Okay, if you don't know what your purpose is, if you're going, God, show me my purpose, here's your purpose. Go and make disciples of all the nations. You've got to produce something. We can't get around that. Okay. Matthew 7, verse 19. I think it's up there. That's where Jesus said to the disciples that the trees that don't produce fruit get chopped down. Okay. Galatians 6, verse 7 says, okay, God cannot be mocked. Okay. What a man sows, he reaps. Okay. So here's the first bit of information that's very interesting, because what the guy said to the master, he said this: I knew you to be a harsh man. You sow where you reap where you do not sow. And then Paul goes on in Galatians and he corrects that statement. He says, and do not mock God. Okay, in other words, he's saying that this guy in the parable, he got it wrong. So this is the second thing we need to take note of. Okay. Amu mentioned it on the camp as well, if you were there. The way that we view God often determines what we produce and how we produce and if we produce. Okay, and we're going to get into that. Okay. And then the third thing that I want to... Yo! Wow. Somebody pray for that man. Okay. Bless you. Great. Okay, the third thing I need to talk about is that, and this is the reason why you don't have an excuse when it comes to producing, okay? What did we say right in the beginning? Okay? Let's go back there. Okay. Where did I read this? This was a cool one. Okay, yes. Verse 15. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Okay? Here's the reason why we don't have an excuse not to produce. Okay? Because God gives your talents, your circumstances, your privilege, your non-privilege, according to your ability. Okay? He knew you and knit you in your mother's womb and gave you gifts accordingly. He knows what you are capable of, and he has given you everything to accomplish that which he has called you to do. So when it comes to judgment day, and you've got to give account for what you have done or not done, okay, you are not going to have an excuse. Okay, who's scared? okay, great. This scares me, if I'm honest. Because when I weigh up what I'm doing with my life and what I could be doing more, there's always more I can be doing, and you know, there's stuff that I need to do and I'm not getting to. I love what Paul writes in Romans 7. He says, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. You know, this real human frustration. You know, and then I read a parable like this, and all that Jesus was doing is he's setting the bar up here. You know, you think you got it, you don't got it. Okay? It's not going to be good enough that you just try. I'm sorry, I need to see results. I've given you the ability. I've given you everything that you need. You're going to need to show results. You're going to have no excuse. And it's so opposite to the culture that we live in. You know, there's our head pastor, he preached a sermon called The Age of the Avatar. I'm not going to go into what exactly that means. But basically, he spoke about the fact that in today's society, it's the cool thing to be the victim. If you can be the victim, you have all the power. And to be the victim, you've got to say, you know, it wasn't me. I've got all these troubles. I've got all these hardships. You don't know what's going on in my life. Blah, 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 blah. And what you do is you shun off responsibility. You say, it's not my fault. I don't need to do anything about it because it's not my fault. And that's completely counter to what God says. He says, I've given everyone according to their ability, and I will hold you responsible. If you don't produce fruit, you get cut off. I'm going to chop you down in the fire. That's that. Okay? So we need to have that talk. We need to lay those ground rules. Okay? So I know a few of you are kind of feeling, okay, That's not the point of what of this message, and we're going to cover a few things because I really like the way that Renee put it in the offering message, and we'll get there just now. Okay. So let's ask, why are we talking about productivity and producing in terms of relationship? What does it have to do with relationships? Okay. The fact is that our relationships and our ability to relate, it will always determine the impact that we have. Okay? I'm going to unpack that just now. But listen to what the guy says. He says to God, he says to the master, I knew you to be a hard master, and so I went and hid my talent. And you see, the way that he related to God, the way that he knew him, the kind of relationship that he had determined his output. Sometimes, you know, if I talk to guys that are very driven, they're very hard on themselves. If they get anything under 90% for an exam, you know, they're in a state for a week. And sometimes you talk to them, you go, why? And it's like, my father's never there. And I think that if I can just do the best here, if I can make first team rugby, if I can get 100% in all my tests, my father might take notice of me. See how sad that is. The way that they relate, the way that they know their father, determines how they produce and what they produce. And in this instance, it's, you know, it just works. I've got to do something to try and please my father. I use that example quite deliberately because, you know, sometimes, you know, passing an exam with 90% is not a bad thing, right? Yeah? Monica thought it would be a bad thing. Anything under 95 and she's not happy. Yeah. I married smart. She's cool. Actually for you. We'll talk about this later. Okay. So the way that I relate to a person often determines my actions, okay? The way that you relate to your girlfriend or boyfriend determines your actions as well, okay? If you're in a relationship with your girlfriend because you've got, you know, your hormones going on and you cannot control them, do you know it's going to affect how you relate to your girlfriend, okay? And girls, if you're in a relationship with a guy because your dad was never there and you're trying to get some sort of male affection, you know that's going to affect your actions. Amen? Okay? And there's a bit of healing that we got to go on there. There's a bit of self-control that we've got to learn in order to produce good fruit. Okay? You guys with me? Okay? You see what I'm talking about? Okay? Your relationships that you have, okay, your friendships, your romantic relationships, they have to produce something, okay? They are either going to be for God, stewarding God's image, stewarding what God has called you to do. They're either going to encourage and motivate you to go read your Bible, whether it's with your friends talking about accountability, talking about what God is doing in your life, those kind of friendships that build each other. Okay, or it's a self-centered relationship where you're in a relationship for what you can get. And that determines the fruit of that relationship as well. Right? Okay. I was friends with guys because I felt that I needed to have friends. You know, they were before I got saved, I was very introverted. After I got saved, I became very extroverted. I don't know how that happened, so I won't go in there. But I was very introverted, and I needed to sort of have friends because I was told having friends is a good thing. You know, so I hung around with anybody who would hang out with me, and that doesn't always make for good friends, okay? If I can give you a piece of advice, choose your friends. Don't let them choose you, okay? Okay, so my need for friendship drove me to go look for friendship in the wrong places. I ended up hanging out with a bunch of stoners and smoking weed almost every day for 3 years before I got out of that. But, you know, I've got a soft spot in my heart for stoners. We love them. Okay. Near Ruan. Ruan also, he's got a cool testimony of that. Maybe I'll come share it later. Huh? We'll see. Okay, cool. Talk just now. Okay, Laka. Okay, but you understand what I'm saying? My need for relationships, or my purpose with relationships, okay, or my motivation for relationships determines my actions. And often my actions determine the kind of relationships that I get into. Okay. So either you get stuck in this negative cycle of bad relationships with bad actions that produce bad actions, and then which will ultimately lead to bad relationships, which will lead to bad, or you get into good and healthy relationships, which will encourage you with good actions, good fruit, which will eventually lead to more healthy relationships, etc., etc. You guys get what I'm going with this? Okay, great. Fantastic. Okay. So there's something else that I want to talk about. So we covered about how we see God determines our actions, okay? How we see others determines our actions. We covered this 2 weeks ago when I did a sermon, John 13, verse 34, this command I give you, this new command I give you. Anybody want to finish that one? Yeah, you guys. We spoke about the two greatest commandments, and then Jesus came and said, I give you a new command. Love others like I have loved you. Okay, Jeannie gets the gold star. You can come back next week. Everybody else, read your Bible. Okay, great. John 13, verse 34. Okay, so Jesus says to the disciples, okay, love others as I have loved you. Okay? The way that we view other people determines our actions as well. Okay? If my motivation for hanging out with Thomas over here is because I want to love him as Jesus loved me, okay? What kind of friendship do you think that's gonna produce? What kind of fruit do you think that's gonna produce? Okay? But if I hang out with Thomas because, you know what, he's the head boy, and he makes my street cred go up, and he went to the USA for MMA fighting. What was it? Kickboxing. Yeah. And he's just really, you know, like cool and stuff. You know, and I'm just using him basically for my own image. The kind of relationship that I have with him will determine the kind of fruit. Okay. I know I'm emphasizing and I'm harping on this, but I just want this to settle in, okay? Because we're talking about fruit, good fruit and bad fruit. We have to produce good fruit. If we don't, we get cut off. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? The implications of this. We have to produce good fruit. And the kind of relationships that you choose and that you steward will determine the kind of fruit that you produce. Okay? So there's a lot of pressure to get this right. There's a lot of pressure to get your relationships right. Okay? The last one I want to sort of hang on is that the way we view ourselves also determines our actions. Okay? All right, my father often said to my sister, you know, you dress for the kind of guy that you want to attract. You know? Or you go out, you get the love that you think you deserve. For guys, it's the same. We attract the kind of love that we think we deserve. And often the way that we view ourselves, we think that we're only worth these kind of relationships. If I don't think that I'm worth hanging out with those goody-goodies and those people that seem to have all their lives together, I tend to hang out with the kind of people that don't, because that's what I think I deserve. I've had the privilege to minister to a lot of people, including girls and guys, and the amount of girls that I've ministered to and they've told me, I'm in a relationship with this guy because I think he's the best I'll ever get. Or the guys that tell me, if I let go of this girl, I'm never going to find anybody else because nobody's ever looked at me like this. That's a bad reason to get into a relationship and to stay in a relationship. Let me just say that, okay? Those are the kind of relationships, if you're lucky, maybe end up halfway kind of what you would want it to. Otherwise, it usually goes like that, nosedive. You see, the way that we relate to ourselves, and this is very important as well. When I read that scripture in the beginning, it said, God gives according to his ability. You've got to understand that God has given you abilities and talents. God has placed worth on you. Okay, and how you view that determines and is often showed in the kind of relationships that you hang out with, the kind of people that you hang out with. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. There's relationships that I believe some of you are going to have to relook. Friendships, romantic relationships, relationships with your parents. Okay, I'm not saying that you need to go and pick a fight with your parents. I'm saying, okay, that sometimes we fight with our parents because, I don't know, they misunderstand us sometimes. Oftentimes it's because we feel entitled to certain things. We feel like we deserve certain things and our parents just don't meet our needs. Okay? You got to go relook at your friendships. Okay? Am I in this friendship to serve this person or am I in this friendship for what I can get out of this person? You got to go look at your romantic relationships, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Are you in that relationship because he makes you feel complete? Let me say another thing. If you're in a relationship because the person completes you, get out of that relationship. There's only one person that can complete you, and that's God. And when you get married, it's not two halves coming together to join a whole. It's two whole people coming together to make one. Two becomes one. You understand what I'm saying? No person is going to be able to completely complete you. Okay? Craig, being married to Renee, understands that Renee is never going to complete him. Same thing goes for Renee. Craig is never going to complete her. Why are they in a relationship together? Why do you think they're in a relationship together? Because they're not in it for themselves. They're in it to serve God. And they've been called to do it together. You understand what I'm saying? It's about teamwork. We're not in relationships because it's a hospital, because it's a clinic, because I need, it's all self-centered, because I need to be complete. We're in relationships because it's teamwork. Because together, okay, we steward the image of God. Together, we make a good team. We know we can go further. You understand what I'm saying? There's an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together, okay? You've got to understand that when you're in a relationship, a married couple, Genesis tells us that God created Adam and Eve in his image. God created them in his image, both male and female. When you look at a married couple, they, together as a married couple, steward and represent the image of God on earth. There's one form that God chose to represent his image on earth, and that is a married couple in union together. And if you're in a relationship with somebody, you've got to understand that you have the responsibility to steward that relationship. You understand what I'm saying? I've seen so many people affected by broken marriages. Either they come from divorced homes, and it affects the way that they view God, and ultimately it affects what they can accomplish on earth. And then I've seen the results of people coming from good, healthy, God-inspired marriages. Parents that love and serve God with all their hearts. And I've seen how the children view God and how it inspires them to lay down their lives, oh God. They want to be like their parents because that image is good and it's whole. And maybe you guys, maybe there's some of you sitting here that you come from broken marriages. Maybe you experience broken friendships. And maybe your relationship with your girlfriend, your boyfriend is not as ideal as you'd want it to be. And I'm asking you to relook at them. Are you in those relationships to serve that person? Are you in those relationships to lay down your life for that person as Christ has laid down your life for you? Are you in it for self-completion, for selfish needs, for selfish reasons? Because ultimately that's going to determine the fruit of those relationships. And here's the warning, as I stated, you have to produce good fruit. You don't have an excuse not to. You can't come to God and say, I didn't know. Especially now that I've told you. I'm sorry. Do you understand what I'm getting at? So relationship has all to do with perspective, basically. A worldly perspective says it's all about me, and a biblical perspective says that it's all about Jesus. So I want you to analyze all the relationships that you've got. What are they about? Is it about you? Is it about how the person has hurt you? Is it about what you can get? Or is it about Jesus? Jesus being realized in their life, through your relationships, Jesus being realized in other people's lives. Because we've got to come to the same conclusion that Paul did. Let's go to Philippians 3, verse 7 to 8. I'm going to end off with the scripture. The band can come up as well. Thank you, guys. So Paul says, he writes a letter to the Philippians, and he talks about how he is the most qualified person, okay, that the church has known. He was a Pharisee. He studied the law. He knew the law inside and out. He called himself the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the most zealous. He's done all these things. And then listen what he says. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things. I count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. Let's stand.